The Up With The Bonnets podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Unicorn Cleaning Services. They offer a range of facilities from domestic and commercial cleaning, which includes lets and Airbnb, and also offer ironing and laundry services. You can find a link to their website in our Facebook and Twitter bios. You can also reach them by visiting their Facebook page, or you can contact them by visiting their website, unicorncleaningservices.co.uk.
Coming up on this week's episode, we'll go over Friday's defeat away at Morton. We'll look ahead at the games against Inverness and Partick. We'll also talk about the time Paul decided to dye some white skinny jeans purple for a Claxons gig. And we'll end it, as ever, with the D-Archive, with a special mention from John Robertson. Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the Up With The Bonnets podcast. I'm your host, I'm Phil the Cald, I'm Daniel Smith. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Paul Gray.
All right, Danny, how are you feeling? You okay?
Utter miserable shite. Everything. I've got the man flu, mate.
I knew you were about to say that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Seems everybody's got it just now, except me. Excellent. Proper man.
It's absolutely, but it's the alcohol that you put down you, but it just kills anything, so. Mm-hmm. And you're not at risk if there was an apocalypse happening, or like the zombie apocalypse, you're fine.
Well, unless it wipes out the beer, then, yeah, right. I'll be screwed.
Or if somebody lit a match near you, and it just up in flames.
Be me that causes apocalypse.
Yeah, but I'm feeling absolutely dire, mate. Absolutely dire. I feel like I've been like a trooper, even dragging myself on to do this podcast. I'm the one pat on the back on the hand.
Mate, you'll be fine. Hot toddy, couple of paracetamols, bed, sorted.
Driving the one, so no hot toddy.
Pap.
Exactly. A pap that wants to keep his Joe Banny's license.
Unacceptable.
So, Paul, listen, what have you been up to this week anyway? Before we even go into football, because the football is... It was dire. So what have you been up to? What's happened in the week of a life of Paul Gray? Tell me.
Absolutely nothing.
Fantastic.
Sitting here absolutely sweating about starting my new job. Honestly, I'm absolutely sweating. Like,
you'll be fine.
I'm so nervous. Eh?
I was expecting like something like, I'll be doing this, that, hobbies.
No, I've done all that. I've done that for the last 4 months. I've painted all the walls. I've done all that. Fed up at it now. I'm like, I want to get back into work, but I'm shiting myself at the same time.
4 months to paint all the walls. How many walls have you got?
Well, I would paint a wall and then just have a couple of cans and then a couple of days down the line, do another wall.
Get a second coat.
Just so I could have beers.
Absolute cowboy.
Definitely. I'm good at it, though. I'm generally good at it. Did re-wallpaper in it as well. It was brilliant.
Well, my week has been eventful work-wise, but I have been looking for new music to listen to recently. I've been trying to branch out from listening to old classics like Blur and everything, and I'm trying to find new bands.
Just go into my Twitter feed, mate.
But, some of them just put us off, like Old Sock, a band called Old Sock. That's kind of music you listen to. So,
but below the radar music.
Yeah. As soon as they become popular, you hate them.
Like, yeah, exactly. Mate, you've just summed up like high school in a nutshell.
You start despising everything they became.
Yeah. A bit like whenever a band get big, I would just be like, nah, shite.
Kind of what band kind of went like that? Kings of Leon.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Absolutely excellent. And then became big, they had that song, Sex on Fire, and ever since then,
stinking.
Bastards.
I was one of the first guys in my school to listen to Kings of Leon, actually.
Yeah, so I witnessed them play in the Barrowlands, supporting The View.
No, it was King Tut's, actually.
Oh, the King Tut's, oh, sorry about that, yes.
I was always like that. Or the other way about, a band would come out and it'd be like, oh, they're absolutely shite. And then about a year down the line, they're like my favourite band.
Yeah, That's the way it goes. There's a few that I've picked up on. I think you heard them, the Sherlocks and the, is it Lathams? Lathams?
Lathams. I'm not keen on them.
You know, I just heard a few songs. I thought, oh, give me give them a wee blast this week.
Just think, how they bands sing like that. Their singers are, oh, I don't like it.
But I'm liking the fact that we're getting bands back that have got the in the first name.
Yeah, that's
like,
cool.
Remember like the early 2000s, every indie band was the.
Every band.
Yeah, it wasn't just Editors, the Editors. Can you know what I mean?
The Hives. The Libertines. Strokes.
Yes, the Hives, an excellent band.
Supporting Arctic Monkeys in the summer, I'm going, can't wait.
Oh, nice.
Just going to see them and then leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No big fan of the Monkeys.
The new Monkeys album's pish.
Yeah, it's...
And they'll just fill the set with that, and I'm not really into it. Nah, obviously I'm going to stay for that. Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Of course you will.
Can't wait.
Well, you've got the Monkeys and the Hives, I like James and Razor Light. I like James, though.
And yes, Razor's shite.
This is where I think you're a bit of a toff when it comes to music.
Yeah, if I don't like it, it's crap.
Yeah. It's beneath you.
Yep, absolutely.
Hmm.
I love this.
Just speaking about music. There's a couple other bands I've actually started listening to I was going to mention to you, but I don't care. I think they've been getting played on Radio 1, so I think that might be at your...
One likely.
The past the NME stage, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
I'm a Radio 6 kind of guy. Once your musical taste matures, BBC Radio 6 comes a-calling.
You're the type of boy that I think would listen to a radio station that's called like Radio 6 Extra, but it's XTRA, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A little bit alternative about that, a wee alt about it.
God, I'm getting absolutely sweating here, like, because it's absolutely correct.
I feel like I'm grilling you a wee bit.
I know.
You like all that quirkiness, don't you, though, eh?
Love it.
Aye, well. Well, we can't just keep speaking about music for this podcast, unfortunately, so we might have to dive into the game.
Oh, do we have to?
Let's do it. I've not got much to say about it, to be honest.
I do.
But the listeners will obviously know that we're absolutely... shot it under the lights at Capello on Friday night. That was an awful display. Never got going. Actually, tell you, we did kind of get going in the first half. It took a while. Martin could have been a good few goals up by the time we did get going. But all round, it was a performance that you expected from Martin. We've spoken about the way they've played on this podcast for a while. It's what you'd expect from them, and it worked. And they deserved the win, in my eyes. My four eyes, Paul, that I'm wearing. You always slag us for wearing glasses on the pod.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what tabs are on your laptop this time. I genuinely can't believe I might say this, but credit where credit's due, and Dougie Imrie needs to be given that credit for the way that he's set up his team to effectively win that game. I mean, they basically set up to just get on top of Dundee right from the word go. I mean, look at the first minute in the first half and first minute in the second half. Boom, right on top of us. And it was just, I mean, they were quickest out the traps. They were there to clearly, like, unsettle us, stop us from getting control of the game, you know, getting any sort of rhythm, try and dictate the tempo. So, I mean, in short, they bullied us all over the park. And exactly like what you said, Dundee shat it. Yeah. Simple as that.
I seen somebody post a comment saying that Morton dragged us down to their level, which I thought, well, no, really. They set out a game plan and it worked.
It did.
If Dundee done that every game and won, you would not hear me complaining at all.
And see, the thing is, see, like, we might touch on it a bit. I mean, like, the Cove game, it wasn't really working in the first half. A couple of changes. Second half, we won the game in the first 10 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. But then... Boyer does his wee half-time subby. It was like Morton were already set up and waiting for it and like going, you've just fallen right in our trap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a Venus fly trap.
I think teams know that Dundee are going to make an abundance of substitutes. I've went back and counted every single substitute we've made. So 36 competitive games under Boyer.
And 75.
Higher.
What?
Higher.
100.
higher.
Fuck off.
That might just want me to tell you.
Go.
We've made, in 36 games, 158 substitutes.
What?
That's quite frightening for me, because I know we're second in the league. We're 2 points behind Queen's Park. We've got a game in hand, but it's always been a bugbear for me for day one, wee boyer, wee substitutions, because I feel like we don't really have a settled team. Is it a case of we don't start out well, makes loads of subbies, or we start out well, we think we've won the match, makes loads of subbies, getting boys on the pitch? You know, because to say we're 2-3-0 up, I'll just fling all them boys on the pitch, keep them a wee run out and all that. But it's like, can we not just like keep a good squad together? A good, like, I mean, you want to see boys given a chance all the time, but if we're needing to build the good consistency and all that, especially because the start of the year, I'm going to go into that as well, that's something we've not got compared to the way we ended the year. So we really need to do something to start churning out wins here and chopping and changing. And didn't get us wrong, what I ken that some of these have been our forced substitutions, we boys getting injured and head knocks or going into extra time, because I think there was one game, there was 7 substitutions made. I think that might have been...
Is that another St. Mirren game?
Airdrie, I think. Was it Airdrie?
Yeah.
So, like, 7 there. We've never... the lowest we've went is 3 substitutions in a game. I've no went lower than that. Is that... Do you think that's hindering Dundee?
Yeah, that's absolutely wild.
Mm-hmm.
What was it,
158? 158.
In 36?
Yep.
That's absolutely bonkers. That to me suggests that doesn't know the right team to beat that opposition. I mean, it's that old saying, horses for courses. Do you know what I mean? But we should still have a settled team. But this is the thing, like in the commentary, McFadden kept going on about Dundee's squad, the size of the squad, the quality of the squad. I mean, that's great, but if you didn't play as a team, it means fuck all. And I'm absolutely... That's bonkers.
I've been meaning to do this for the past few pods, and I keep forgetting, but...
It's incredible.
As also, I had to postpone this pod by about 10 minutes to record them tonight because I was waiting on a parcel. I thought, you know what? I've got a spare 10 minutes. Let's give us a count. And I'm like, fucking hell. Like, to me, that a lot of fans have picked up on the amount of substitutions we make, and so I didn't feel it's just me that thinks that he's overdoing it.
No, I mean, I think we've all noticed that, definitely, but I didn't realise it was on that kind of scale. Yeah. That's I don't even know what that is. That's just... Yeah. What?
I mean, I've said a couple of weeks ago that the amount of times he's changed the game, lobbed on 3 boys at a time, 4 boys at a time or whatever, and it's no stuck. It's only few and far between that has stuck. Queen's Park, Cove, Partick at half-time, that kind of kick-start to do a movement in the first half of the season as well. Over a period of 36 games, I can only pick out 4, maybe 5 games that the substitutes have changed it. It doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't look good. That's just taking a gamble by the sound of things. That's what that is.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here like saying this is the end of the world and can get them out. It's just stuff like that. I'm not like trying to act like I'm overreacting. I still think... Like I said last week, Morton's going to be a tough game. So on Saturday morning, I was over that defeat because I was like, expected something like that to happen if it was going to happen. We're going to get beat for them, a stubborn Morton team. So I still believe, like, down the line, we will have enough to go up. But at the same time, I can't get these amount of substitutions out of my head.
I wish you'd actually never brought it up. Because I was sitting here coming on, let's have a wee giggle and all this kind of stuff. Now I'm absolutely fucking raging.
Yeah,
like that's like I said earlier, we've all noticed it, but not on that scale. That is unbelievable. I don't. Is he giving boys run out to see if they're worth it again? I don't know. That just sounds to me, like I said earlier, that just sounds like he's gambling. He's just absolutely gambling.
Yeah.
Chucking boys on for the sake of it.
John Nils will speak to you. What? So John Nelson must be tearing at his hair with all these appearance fees that are probably like a bonus on their contracts.
Yeah, probably.
Fuck's sake, what are you doing? Keep him off.
Or boys that may have they've got to reach so many games and they get an extension of a year on it. Like, stop putting them on.
Yeah.
Might speak about that later. But yeah, that is absolutely wild, mate.
I just thought I'd fling that out there. There's no alternate motive or that I'm trying to do here. Just purely highlighting that we've made 158 substitutions. Because I've never seen a Dundee manager make so many.
Obviously, they're allowed to make, what is it? Are they still allowed to do the five subbies and that? And
five,
then there's
a
concussion subby if you want and stuff. But
just because it's there doesn't mean you have to use it.
Exactly.
If you know what I mean, it's... It's wild.
I mean, you want a subby to come on and actually make a difference, but like you says, you're absolutely bang on. Many times have the subbies came on and actually made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think it's actually been detrimental. It's, you know, scuppered them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All the wrong substitutions being made. Yeah. But I just thought I'd fling that out. Yeah. Just so I thought, you know what, we're going to speak about getting beat against Morton. I'll put that out there to you and make you depressed a little bit more.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine. See, the thing is, to be fair to Boyer, he's no shy in taking boys off if they're not performing, though. I will say that about him.
Yeah, there's that. I have noticed that.
Players like McMullen has been hooked a couple of times because he's no been, like his crosses haven't been coming off and whatever. But there's been other subbies that he's made and you're just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
The one against Morton, taking off Jakubiak at half-time. I genuinely do not understand that.
I thought we were all set to see Jakubiak and Robertson together.
Yeah.
Considering the way they played against Cove. You thought, well, here we go. Fair enough, Robertson was on the bench. Still don't think he's much fit. But if you get them back on together, let's keep the momentum going. And what happened the way they linked up the previous game, that didn't happen. So, in a way, it feels like you're one step forward and two steps back. With the selections and the substitutions.
Madness. They call it madness. I can't believe that. Bloody hell, Danny, you've just thrown a curveball there. Absolutely, wow.
Well, there's something there for the fans to ponder. But we'll go back and we'll speak about the Morton game. Obviously, took an early lead. And that was it. A looping header into the goal. It looked... It was a shite goal to give away.
It was a shite goal?
Yeah.
But, I mean, like it says, they were, from the first whistle, boom. They were more up for it, fighting for every ball, closing down our players, forcing us into mistakes. And it was evident from the word go. And that goal just kind of... We do have the best defence in the league, statistically. You know, goals against, I think we're on 27. The nearest us is on about 32, 34, something like that. But that was a horrible goal to concede. Ashcroft going for the ball. I don't know what Sweeney was playing at. And then Fisher leaves his post. And you've seen Legston's when the goal went in, Legston's was right to Fisher going, you were meant to be on that post.
Mm-hmm.
And if Fisher had stayed there, he would have fucking Joe Rawley that into orbit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an experience. That's a learning curve for the boy, young lad. You know what I mean? But it was just a poor, poor goal. Poor goal. But then they could have went and got a second, virtually straight after.
Yeah.
Like, what? Oh, mate. It was just...
They looked good coming forward. And it was done there. For me, it was... They made great strides doing the width for the park. And... were struggling, and the balls they were putting in were just low and halves half of the time, and were struggling to deal with it. I think I just want to say it was just frustrating, absolutely frustrating to watch.
It was, and that's the thing. I mean, I know a lot of people have got disheartened and stuff, but like, what is it? Two defeats in 15? Is it something like that?
I think it's more than that. Yeah, I was looking at our record before, so 9 games before the January, before the end of the year. So we'd had 7 wins on the trot. Before that, we had 2 draws. So it was 7 wins, 2 draws. And this year, in the first 9 games, we have a grand total of 3 wins, 2 draws, and four defeats. Now, two of them are in cups, but I've counted cups. So, you know, and we did count cups in the running as well. See, when the papers will say like 9 games undefeated.
Yeah.
So it's the form since the start of the new year has been totally,
up and down.
Yeah, more down than up compared to what we had. And that's how I wasn't surprised when we got beat on Friday. Purely because of that. If we were on the same run we were on and the lead into New Year, I would have thought we would have got at least a minimum a point.
See, the thing is, like, I'm don't be funny, but we're up against Morton. Mm-hmm. Like, a draw, nah. Sorry, we need to be beating teams like that. We need to be beating teams like them, Arbroath, Cove. You know, these teams that are below us. It's just, yeah. I mean, it's something, I'd be looking at something ridiculous, like against Arbroath, Cove, Morton, and who else is that? Hamilton. We've dropped like something about 17 points or something from these games against those teams. Mm-hmm. That's not good enough. Like, isn't it? If we'd taken half of those points, we'd be clear. We'd be clear. The Dom Perignon would be on ice. Ready and ready to go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like I'm pure hitting the panic button and having a right proper go. I'm not. I just.
It's frustrating.
These are teams that we should be beating. And it's like none of the teams want to win this fucking league.
Yeah. I think every team, I know Queen's Park are still at the top, but their results have been a little bit indifferent to what they were before the loss to Sigmund Murray also. I think sometimes it's kind of harsh when I'm looking at like when you include Morton in with like Hamilton, I know why, but it's like it seems harsh because they've kind of had their card for every game they've played us this season, and then they've eventually got the win. Like, we've failed to score against them. Mm-hmm. Three attempts, and each time we've came up against them, we've been frustrated by them. They've done a great job at that, but we've no been able to see that coming. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll get another bite of the cherry later on to hopefully make it. Make it four games without a point against them. But
kind of go through a season without beating them. Like, come on,
I know. Geez. But like you say, credit to Imre with all the shoestring budget he's on and what he's done, and he. Like you say, you had your kids on Friday. But that's not to say we never had chances to get back into this match. We did in the first half. The second half, there was fucking no chances.
There was none.
Like, there was none. There was shite, so there was no even point. We can just say, second half, we failed to even make them break out into a sweat. I think they hit the crossbar or the post in the first minute.
The whistle straight out, they hit the bar, and then Legstons makes a brilliant save. He didn't know much about it, he just got his body in the way, but that's what a keeper does. And again, that was right at the first minute.
Yeah.
And it was just basically like, it was like a great big fuck you to Dundee. It was like, we're going to win this.
Yeah.
And we'll say it again, they shat it.
Yeah. Morton looked like a team that knew they were winning that match in the second half. But listen, we'll speak about some of the chances we had in the first half. Most notable was Lyle Cameron's chance. You know what? When you see it, you're like, oh, he should be putting that away. Again, he's done so much for us this season in that short time that you didn't want to lay into him, and we're not going to. But you do see the replay, and the keeper gets the weirdest touch of the ball.
The keeper gets his big toe on it, mate.
But you still feel that he should have enough in his arsenal to direct that ball into the net. Again, it's a young player in that position. It's just maybe, and you know what, he's done a lot. He's looked like head and shoulders. He has been head and shoulders above everybody, basically this season. So you can kind of grant him that one. You only get one, Lyle.
In footballing terms. God, you're coming out with the cliches now, jeez.
I don't even mean it either. I'm not even kind of saying the cliches. but yeah, it's one of those that you're frustrated at him that's happened to.
I was off my seat. I was like, that's an absolute banker of a goal. And then you seen one replay and it was like, how the hell's he missed? And then you seen it was the last replay, and like you say, the keeper just gets his big toe out there, and it is a good save, but Yeah,
he should be sort of tucked away. Yeah.
And that would have been perfect because Dundee, like you says, the amount of chances that we had. Mulligan had a couple. Jakubiak had a chance. McMullen had a chance he created himself. We had tons of chances.
Yeah.
But again, it's Dundee, like, no taking chances.
Mm-hmm. Shooting myself in the foot.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Very frustrating. I mean, the only thing to shout about in the second half was Mulligan's shot. When he just sprinted, that burst of pace, that just pace and power to get the defender off him and then turn inside and hit a shot. Some people moaning that he didn't square it to Robinson, but Robinson had about six boys around him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Mulligan was not feared to be taking a shot.
No.
Which you want to see. You want to see boys willing. You don't want to see teams walking the ball into the back of the net. You want to see boys on the pitch that know where the goal are and they're going to take a shot. To see it opening up, and he was trying to, like I say, it never happened for him, but that's what you want to see from him.
He looked like the only one that was actually up for it, like, fucking, let's go, like come on, I'm going to go. He was the only one that looked up for it. The other ones, just too many players in there kind of drifted in and out of the game. Like I says, I thought Jakubiak had a good game when he went into the middle and he's hold up play and laying it off the boys. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. I just
baffled that the subby at half time. I'd love to know the reason. If he had maybe he took a wee knock or something, or he was feeling his hammy or something, yeah, great, a precautionary subby. But with Robinson up there on top of his own, he was isolated. Bless you.
Sorry. I actually muted there when I was coughing. So,
oh, all right.
For your listeners there, I was actually coughing and, yeah. Because honestly, like I said, I'm full of the bloody kelp. Oh man, I feel like
you did cover your mouth. That's a good lad.
I feel like that I can. I've seen that episode of Friends when Phoebe gets the cold and she just sings "Smelly Cat."
No,
nah.
Didn't watch that pish.
Oh, Paul, me, you're on a sugary peg here.
I'm no kidding.
Like, what's happening? Where was the man that asked to come on this pod and co-host with me?
No giving a fuck.
He's disappeared.
Friends. Jesus.
I've fucking employed a bloody hipster.
Excuse me. I'll be my P45 in the post now.
You definitely wear one sock that's different colour to the other and all that.
Come down. I did dye a pair of white skinnies purple once, but that was going through a Claxons phase.
The Claxons.
It was brilliant. That's a true story.
That's a fucking cracking story. Speak to me about this then.
No. But like I says, I dyed them and I was actually pretty chuffed that the stitching on them still stayed white. So they looked even cooler. Went to a Claxons gig with my mate Steve and got mad with it. It's great.
Sounds like you're mad with it beforehand, but dyeing your white jeans.
Oh, what? I was worried that it was going to ruin the washing machine.
Actually, I'm leaving. White jeans. White fucking jeans. What, your Bon Jovi or something?
White skinnies.
That's fucking amusing.
I think they might have been women's, actually. Well, I can't remember.
I've no doubt they were. I wasn't even thinking they were males, by the way. Straight away when you said white skinny jeans, I'm thinking female ones.
Anyway, back to the Dundee game.
I'm not even bothered about that defeat, though.
Well, I bloody am. I'm not like you. I've not got over it. I'm still fucked off.
Going back to your white skinny jeans for a minute. Was it not maybe a young Johnny Burrell from Razor like that you were intimidated?
No, because I thought I want purple skinnies. You can't get purple skinnies anywhere, so I thought I'll get white ones and dye them purple.
What a travesty. That doesn't have purple skinnies kicking about.
Oh, mate, I was cool as like. What a gig.
You 100% had a season ticket at the doghouse.
Actually, no. No, my scene.
You're not in the doghouse.
No my scene.
Honestly, who is this man I'm speaking to?
Absolute maverick.
I mean, you probably went to gigs or pubs that need to be heard that you walked in like wee alleyways and into a wee dorm and all that. Like hitting gigs or something.
Mate, I mind I used to have like multiple gigs every week. in and around Dundee, and then all of a sudden, there's nothing now.
Do you remember, like, a lot of the pubs up, you know, where, like, the Bank of Scotland is and stuff like that, wee streets down there? Was it wee Commercial Street and all that? Used to be wee pubs up there, used to go up. Used to obviously, like, I mean, half the time they weren't any good, but you just go because it was a live band.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Those were the days.
Yeah.
When Dundee had a thriving music scene.
Yes.
Not really anymore.
No. So anyway, fucking Dougie Emery got one up against us.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I always think with Morton, like I said, you associate them with being hammer throwers. But There was loads of very decent, wee quick, tricky players in that team. Like, I was actually impressed. And the boy Grimshaw in the middle, mate, he absolutely ran the show.
Yeah.
I phoned the old boy at half time. I always like phone him at half time and full time and basically rant about the game. Should have got him on the pod, he'd be better than me. But at half time I was like, watch out that boy, he's an absolute player, he'll be man of the match. And he was man of the match, and rightly so. Tell you, I'd love a player, I'd love a centre midfielder like that. Mm-hmm. Just commands it, runs it, dictates it. He's got pace on him, picks out a pass. He's a tremendous player.
Yeah, I was impressed by him. And even
he's got a big shiny bald head.
See, now that we've not got Zach running, we need somebody with a head like that.
A baldy napper.
Yeah.
Glistening in the floodlights.
With the rain drizzling down on it.
What a player. Very, very impressed. I would be after him in a heartbeat, like. Mm-hmm. But that's my opinion.
Yeah.
And I honestly felt like it was just literally him against the three of our centre midfielders. And he was always in acres of space and there was nobody getting close to him. He was brilliant.
Yeah. We'll look at some of the subbies. So he took off Maguire.
On a big in.
Yeah.
I'd have kept him on.
I would have kept him on just because he's on a big in. Doesn't mean, well, honestly, it means he could be sent off in the next bad tackle, but he wasn't really shown that he was going to make a bad tackle.
No.
They kept him on for a little bit of that second half. But even if he was going to take him off, I don't know what the situation with this with Sean Byrne, but this would have been the like-for-like substitution to try and keep that midfield shored up. Mm. But the substitution's kind of killed that game in midfield for us. In my opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't really notice Ben Williamson touching the ball when he came on.
No, Ben Williamson's not the type of like-for-like substitution for Maguire. I like Ben Williamson. He's got the trickery about him, and he does get stuck in, but he's not the defensive midfielder that we need in that middle of the park, especially away to Morton, where we actually should be playing with one for the full 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. I know McGee has done well, but again, I didn't see him as the defensive midfielder that we should have in that position.
I thought he was actually having a no bad game. But yeah. Again, he was one of these ones that was just drifting in and out. And you were like, I mean, he had a shot in the second half, connected with it sweetly, but it didn't really.
Yeah.
Morton played as a team. We never.
Yeah. That's
what's won the game.
To summarise this game, this defeat, what Paul just said, that's what happened.
That's it. That is exactly it. If you didn't play as a team, then you're fucked.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, see if it was me, and it's controversial as it may seem, I would have took Cameron off and put Robinson on at half-time and stuck Jakubiak out on the left and brought Mulligan back in the middle of the park, because Mulligan would have had the fucking pace to keep up with this Putman Grimshaw boy. And I wouldn't have hooked the boy Maguire either. I know he's on a card, yeah, fair enough, but I mean, the first 20 minutes he looked nervy, but so did the entire team. The entire team looked nervous, and then 20 minutes of your pass, you know, kind of get a couple of passes together, we're looking no bad. But then he takes him off, and then there was none. Mate, you have just bang on with this entire pod that the subbies fucked it.
Mm-hmm. And it's not the first time we've said it, and I don't think it'll be the last time that we speak about substitutions. I just hope that you see more often that they work out than not.
Mm.
But You know what? We're not dwelling on the Morton game any longer because it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's happened. We've been beaten. Fortunately, it was the same night Queen's Park were playing Raith, and even though they were one goal ahead, Raith managed to claw it back and draw 1-1. So,
one on Raith.
Yeah, they're only 2 points ahead of us. Still got the game in hand. I hate the saying. We've used it in the pod now, but I'm seeing it more often now, and I absolutely hate it. It's in our hands. I hate that. Yeah, get that in the bin.
It's in our own destiny.
Yes, destiny. I mean, honestly, if I got asked to run 101, that'd be the first thing in the bin for me. Cliches now. And yeah, I'm done with them. Done with them. Even though just rattled out it is what it is, I'm done with the cliches. Just purely because of that. It's in their own hands, it's your destiny now. All that.
I'd 101 this chair.
Oh, that should have been not even 101, skipped. That should be flung out your window.
Mate, this is a cracking chair, like literally cracking.
Yeah. I don't think it's got much life left in it.
Nah, I'll run it to the ground, like.
Well, yeah, we'll hear that, yeah. I'm waiting on the one day where you just like disappear from the view of the webcam.
Just collapse like Del Boy or something at the bar. Well, just your.
I'll just see your slippers going up.
Couple of tins.
Yeah.
Nah, I mean, it's sorry.
Tins of slippers in the air.
Tins of slippers. But it's right though. I mean, this is yet another week where the results have went in our favour.
Yeah.
And that's what I was on about earlier, like those teams below, like we're dropping points to those teams. Like, no, we should be absolutely clear. I know we've still got the game in hand. Brilliant, that's great. But we shouldn't be relying on that wee game in hand, you know what I mean?
No, I'm just trying to find the scores from Saturday. I've got them now anyway, so...
Oh, Partick,
I can't step on my toes, haven't you?
Oof.
Me toe stepper.
With my slippers.
Your slippers and your white, purplish, skinny jeans.
I'm going to bring them back. Nah, fuck, I wouldn't have fit in them. Oh. That's a chair.
So, Partick beat Ayr 1-0, fair dues. Coven Arbroath 1-0 doesn't really affect us really, does it?
Irrelevant.
Hamilton, who were fucking dead and buried about 2 months ago, won 3-0 away to Inverness Carlow Thistle, and they've also got them on Tuesday night at Hamilton. So we've also got Inverness on Saturday. Inverness, I'm not looking too good just now. So right, I've got their results just up, and the last couple of wins in the league have came against Cove and Arbroath, so they are obviously at the bottom. And actually, yeah, right, so yeah, the last two wins against Cove and Arbroath. Before that, the last win, this is only in the league, the last win was against Cove in October, and the last win against teams at the bottom were against Partick on the 7th of October. So it's safe to say that they're not doing too well.
I would just like to say that that result was a bit of a shockeroony, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Hamilton have kind of got a few boys in that have revitalised, rejuvenated their team, and it looks like their way to try and claw their way out the bottom two. And again,
hell man, that's been 40 cliches 40 cliches in a row there.
Didn't bother about putting the cliches in room 101, just put me in it, because
yeah, absolutely,
I'm full of it, I'm full of them, I'm disgusted with myself, I feel dirty, just get rid of me.
You should get the cold more often.
Oh, but yeah, we've got them coming up, they're not looking too good. But it's that whole thing about Inverness being a wee bit of a bogey team.
Mm.
And also, they beat us last time up here at Dens. We've also beat them up the road in Inverness. So, I'm not wanting to make any predictions, but we really have to bounce back for this defeat against Morton. It's got to be a win. got to be a win, because if I can get the fixtures up for next week, which I'm fucking struggling on because I'm not even on the right thing. This is great podcasting, by the way. I mean, how we only winning awards, I think I can't help.
You're doing great. You're doing great. Keep up the good work.
5-star rating for that.
Absolutely.
So
get us on Trustpilot.
You've got Arbroath against Partick, us against Carly, and Hamilton against Queen's Park. So the way Hamilton are going, this could be a good chance, but we said that fucking last pod, this could be a good chance to go top, so I'm not saying that again, and not against Cove. So there's games there that if somebody slips up, somebody can go a good few points ahead throughout the league. I think I'm only looking at Dundee. But there's a lot of banana skins in them fixtures.
Yep.
Most not on both yours.
2 seconds, Danny. Oof. That's better.
Is that the San Miguel?
No, it's a wee bit of Moretti. I don't know why, I just fancied it. I mean, I seen him in the shops, you know, the San Miguel was next to the bit of Moretti, but I just thought, ach, I'm just going to get a bit of Moretti. Variety is the spice of life.
You'll be there on the ground soon.
I certainly will be. Anyway, the Inverness game.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be hurting. I mean, generally, they'll be hurting after that humiliation. At home to the hands of Hamilton.
Their fans have
been wanting... Who's that for an alliteration?
I know, but their fans have been wanting rid of Billy Dodds for a good wee while, so...
Billy must stay.
I know, wee Billy must stay. I mean, we all know it's not going the way it should be, well, the way they feel it should be going. I think they are only a few points away from getting caught for COVID. Like, I think they're, so they will be 9th, 8th. How many fucking teams are in this league, actually?
About 25.
I am having a nightmare here.
Nah, they're about, what is that, 6? They're 6 ahead of
them. Right, okay.
Got a game in hand as well.
Cali are 7.
I don't think they'll be caught.
No, but there's that wee thing that, you know what, a couple of wee victories for the team below them put someone under a lot more pressure that they're on. Hopefully we're the ones that add to it. I didn't even get where I'm going with this. Just stop speaking about Cali and their problems.
have you had like a couple of cold and flu tablets or something?
Just the Bairns Capital.
Oh, right, because they're full of caffeine. You're absolutely fleeing, mate.
Buzzing. Fleeing. Honestly, fleeing. I feel like I'm at a Claxons gig.
If I spilled Calpol on my purple trousers, you wouldn't even know.
Yeah, how did you know just do that then?
Probably would have cost us about 300 quid.
So say you only allowed to buy like 2 bottles at a time or something.
Yeah. Be around every chemist in Dundee. Oh, mate, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, right, so Inverness, I mean, they'll...
I'll get back on track. Back on track here.
I mean, I think they'll be wanting to make amends.
Yeah.
And like you said, definitely just get back on track. After that defeat to Hamilton, but...
I'm hoping they have got one eye on the Scottish Cup, because they have got a great chance of getting to a semi-final. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the players are kind of taking their eye off the ball, which might have happened on Saturday, and hopefully that continues. Yeah. And also, it's a midweek tie down at Dundee, so there's a travelling involved. So we will be looking to bounce back for that defeat.
I mean, see, for me, like, obviously, 100% we'll be looking to bounce back, but I don't think we should be going into the game, if I was playing, I'd probably take my frustrations out on Inverness, but I don't think the players should be going there to take it if they are frustrated, because they'll end up making mistakes. They need to just go in there, like, and just go, right, let's just get the job done. Doesn't matter how you get it done, just get it done.
Hopefully it's not frustrating, but just a point to prove.
Hmm. Just implement the tactics that other teams use against us.
Yeah.
Say it all the bloody time.
We'll see changes for this game. No doubt about it. We'll all see changes.
That's the thing that annoys me as well. It's just this... the way that Dundee chop and change, and there's no consistency in the lineups and all that, that transfers to the way we're performing in the league.
Mm-hmm. But I'm more looking at positive changes. So
okay.
I'm more looking at Robinson for Kwame Thomas, who obviously came off injured, and I've not seen the injury update on him. But I think they put it down as a head knock, so done direct substitution.
Yeah. I think that's concussion, like.
But he went off hurting his shoulder. But I don't know.
So did the United keeper on Saturday.
He went off full of shame. That's what he went off with.
Absolutely.
Shame and embarrassment.
Dog meat.
But I think we will see changes that way. Because we might see another change in midfield. Maybe Luke McCowan coming in, or maybe Willigan. Nah, McCowan's kind of went off the boil a bit. But we'll see one or two, definitely.
I'd like to see Vitoli getting a go.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the way Mulligan came on there, and you were kind of like, Mulligan left mid. Pfft, what? But he looked dangerous. He looked dangerous cutting in on his right. I wouldn't mind seeing him starting if that's the way that he's going to play. Because I mean, I know he does go kind of, or he did go hot and cold, and we were saying, oh, he needs to spell out of the team and da da da. And all this kind of stuff.
Sorry, Paul's just watching me cough up my guts on the webcam. Again, I don't even think you
muted that there.
I thought I did. Well, it's getting kept in because I'm over it.
I heard Jim. So everybody else heard you. But anyway, the way if Mulligan plays like that, then yeah, he'll be dangerous, like. But yeah, we shall see.
We just have to start this game better than we have the past few games. That's all we've got today. Because if we start this game and we're on the back foot after the first couple of minutes, we could be running into the same problems we have. And again, there probably would have to be made if that's the case, but we will be looking at more substitutions coming on and more changes, enforced changes. So let's try and get the right team out for this game. This is going to be a hard one against Cali. Cali are a hard team to play against, especially us. They are the very physical team also, and they've got Billy Mackay up top, who has certainly filmed a run of form and knocking the ball back in the net. Obviously, he had that wee stigma about him that he got teams relegated for a wee while, but
yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's finding the form again. Who was it again? It was Cali, United, Ross County or something, like. Was it like three seasons on the trot? But he's kind of shooken that off, and he's now putting the ball back in the net again. So he's the one to, if you keep him quiet and just stand up tall, and then he got bullied.
I thought we weren't going to highlight players, Danny. Sake.
Too late. It's the caffeine. It's the calipulse kicked in.
You need to lay off that. You've had too much. You're not going to sleep tonight.
Ping in. Honestly, scrapers off the roof. So, but I never knew we have actually got a game on Tuesday as well, home to Partick, which, again, when you look at it, the fixtures, home to Cali, then home to Partick, it's like they have two tough games. But Partick, I'm not looking to. This is the worry here, Paul. This is what may make a point of.
I know what you're going to say. Mate, and I guarantee you, every single Dundee fan is feeling the exact same way.
Yeah.
Coming up against two teams that are utter shite.
Mm-hmm.
Can't win for Toffee. And then you've got Dundee at home.
Yeah. Who need the points.
Mm.
Yeah. Know what I'm gutted about? Last week when we done the podcast, I wish I was looking at my phone because we could have done a little bit of breaking news just in. Ian McCall has been sacked by Partick because we were recording at the time.
Mate, I think it was like 8:15 that they put the announcement out. We'd obviously started recording at 8 o'clock. It was like, what?
Me and you were in full flow.
I know. God, Jobby McCall, Ofsky.
Gutted.
That's a shame. Gutted. Absolutely gutted.
But it doesn't seem like whoever they've got in charge. I don't know who they have put in charge. But did you see their statement? Like it's kind of like they've came out saying it's not money, but the money they have spent, they should be doing better. So kind of like cutting their losses now and trying to... Yeah.
It's pretty much a twos up.
Yeah. But both of them are going to be tough games. But realistically, we have to be looking at a six-pointer here in the next two games. Because what's the, again, going back to the cliches here, But I've seen it. My mate's been putting it on Twitter quite a lot, Scott McMurtry. He's been saying, win all your home games. That'll take care of itself.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
And then pick up, I've said it before, win all your home games. And then you pick up points on the road here and there. Yeah. I mean, I know I was saying earlier, oh, God, we'd want to beat Martin away. But I mean, there are games away from home where you would go, come on, take a point here. Cool. But, mate, that is exactly it. I mean, obviously, I don't expect Dundee to win every single league game.
Yeah, well, you've heard your predictions every single podcast.
Exactly, and I'm going 5-0, 6-0, 7-0. But that's it. I mean, just win these home games. Just win. Mm. Just these two games. That puts us right. We are on our way. We're on our way. We get these 6 points here. I think we'll be looking good.
That's it. Because we have to kickstart the season sooner than later. And this is the perfect time to do it. Like you say, two home games and it's quick succession. You know what I mean? We could be looking at potentially being so many points ahead of the league.
Well, many games are left. Many games are left. 12 or something.
I think there's 12 or 13. I don't think it's any lower than that.
See, this is the thing. Like, you want to get the... You want to get going.
Yeah.
There's fucking 12 games left. They should have been getting going about 12 games ago.
We did. Kinda.
But kinda. It's just, again, it's just stupid drop points against pish opposition that we really should be putting teams away. Like other teams have been doing throughout the season, giving teams 5 and 6 and that we just didn't do.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing, eh? Absolutely mind-blowing.
Regardless of how the season ends, we'll obviously do an end-of-season review, and I think we'll look at games that we feel like we should have... Yeah. I mean, games that we should have won that were basically spurned all our chances and gifted goals and everything, but that's end of the season. Hopefully, it's a fucking joyous one when I say it, but...
Fingers crossed it will be, and a part of me feels that obviously we will win. We will win the league. Personally, though, and this might be controversial as fuck, but if we're to go up via the playoff, I don't know, just a part of me feels like that's just not good enough. Like, no. I feel like we should be absolutely romping this league.
No, I'm wee on that one. I know we've said from the start, well, we're going to get carried away. We don't think we've got a God-given right to be winning the league. We should be top. No. But now that we've seen the way we can play, the way players can play, individual performances and, you know, and even games that we've been beaten, we've looked at and thought, well, how did we get beaten?
How did we get beat? We've had about 5 or 6 chances, you know what I mean? It's just.
That's when you start looking back and thinking, we should really be there. Not like fucking win it already, but we should really be top and looking back, no even having to look behind us, like worrying. I'm not saying again that we should be about like fucking 5, 6, 7, 8 points ahead of people, but should be top.
No, I genuinely do, because there's games that we've drawn or lost that we should just never have done. And the thing was, I mean, you know as well as I do, sorry, say that again, everybody knows that I hate target man football. I hate it, right? And then, see when Kwame Thomas went off, okay, there was a wee bit of target man to Jacoby out, he was doing well, but McFadden hit the nail on the head, bang on with his commentary. He was like, there's Dundee's attackers getting into the game now, two passes and they're up the pitch. Yeah. Two passes. And I've said it for weeks and weeks that if we get the ball in the deck, we could rip teams apart. And obviously other people are seeing it, but you still want to resort with playing a high ball up to a flipping dumpling.
Yeah, no big fan of it. I'm not a big fan of the punt the ball up, but you
it's shite.
So you hate target men, so you must hate Willie Faulkner.
No, I mean, come on, mate. That style of football, not for me. It just reminds me of teams like Stoke, you know what I mean? Pish.
It's not a style of football that you win this league with.
I mean, I know, like, look, we win 1-0, great. I'm no fucked about getting entertained in that. I want to see the team playing to the best of their ability, and I think long balls isn't it. Sorry, I feel like I'm way to go off on rant mode. I'm really sorry, but it's just it's rubbish. We can rip teams apart with a couple. I mean, look at that goal against Falkirk, Cameron second. There was about 4 or 5 one touch passes, boom, 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 ripped apart in the net. Brilliant. There needs to be more of that and less of this hoofing it.
Yeah.
It's not Sunday league.
What?
Oof, God, where'd that come from?
Am I taken back here?
I love it. It's shite.
Honestly,
anyway.
This microphone's red hot.
Oh man, I said this wasn't going to be scathing, but yeah, that's all for it.
You know one thing, I've obviously had my wee rant in the chat that me and you are in on the Friday night, but this league is notorious for being you could have the best team, maybe not the best team in the world in this league, you would drop it, but you could have a really good team in this league and still struggle to go up because it's just a league that the teams here I'll just fucking play. If you're favourite, they're upping their game against you. It's always good. We're going to get results like this, and it's going to happen. It's just shite when it does, because you can, Dundee can do better, but it happens.
Look at the way that Morton celebrated at the full-time.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they'd won the World Cup.
Yep.
That's what it was like, and that's probably what it means to them, getting one over the favourites.
Mm-hmm. It was a scalp.
Yeah, it's a scalp. So see, the thing is, if we are the favourites, then let's fucking show it.
Yeah.
Let's bury these teams.
Yep, that is
it. Didn't it be shiting yourself because a boys went to go through you? Just fucking go through him. Mm-hmm. There was too many shite bags. I'm sorry, man. There was a part, and if any, I watched the 90 minutes again. I cannot believe it did, but I did. And see, there was a part, the camera pans over, and I think it's just after their goal, and McGee is going, right, come on, and he's, doing that with his hand, come on. See, to me, I was completely uninspired.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted somebody, absolutely berating Abdi and shouting, come on, kind of like a Gouser kind of guy, to get the boys going, do you know what I mean? But seeing him doing that, I was kind of what?
I can't believe you went and watched the full 90 minutes.
I watched the highlights and then I was like, you know what, stuff it, I'm just going to watch it.
I take it you'd already painted otherwise in your so you didn't have to, you had spare time.
Dogs have been walked, everything. Hoovered, done. Couple of washes, done. Let's get the football on. Who wants to watch fucking Man United and Leicester? Nah.
You've been a good house husband.
Oh, I'm the best,
Listen.
Anyway.
That's it. We've ranted, we've fucking shouted, we've swore.
I just can't believe it took me nearly an hour to get all that off my chest.
Look, we've seen sense, we've not made sense. We've had other emotions in this podcast.
Here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah. But we'll finish this podcast. I'm going to move away from the results in the upcoming games. Going to Paul's favourite time of the pod, and it's not the very last second to end. It's the D-Archive.
Quality, let's do it.
So, this one, the first one, 20th of February, we played Motherwell in the Scottish Cup fourth round at Dens Park. Jockey Scott was in charge, 1988. Ian Anger, Stuart Arthur, that's us. Through to the next round.
Hey.
Next game.
EI.
Yep. Next game also against Motherwell. This time 2015, Paul McGinn after 12 minutes. I think it was kind of a cross come shot, if I remember rightly. Put it in the back of the net and that was it. Dundee won.
Quality.
Yep.
Not bad player. Not bad.
I liked him. Kind of underrated, wasn't he? Yeah. I always think there was a wee bit about him leaving. I'm always led to believe that he wanted to stay. But there was no offer or something like that.
Mm.
God knows. What was that? Fucking.
It's probably a lot of that going on, probably, yeah. Just now, actually. But,
it was six years ago. No matter, I start digging old graves. We probably misinformation that. Probably was nothing to do with it.
Maybe. You just didn't like Dundee as a city.
No, this is a good one. So, we beat Aberdeen 2-0 in the Scottish Cup. Another Scottish Cup fourth round. 2003, Steve Lovell and Nacho Novo, but most notable would be the save from Julian Spironi from that game. Possibly.
What a save.
No, see Kyle Lefram's save in the game that we went up against Dumbarton was a fine save. Fantastic save to be, I'm not trying to downplay it. And also the importance of it was just fucking strong and I like it. But I've never seen a keeper move the body like that, the way Spironi did for this one. He was going one way and still managed to bloody claw the bar back on the, and that went the other way.
Just unbelievable. Yeah. Every now and then it pops up on somebody, your Twitter or be on Facebook, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just, when you see it from behind the goal, you're just like, how the hell has he got that? How the hell has he got that? I send that from time to time with my old boy going, you would have caught that, Dad.
Wasn't he going to save us what everybody else thinks it is? He would have caught it, one hand.
He would have caught it. Yeah, like Pat Jennings.
The cat.
Oh, wow. Quality.
We've got a birthday on the 23rd of February. Killian Sheridan.
Happy birthday, mate.
34. He's celebrating his birthday with a moon boot on.
A Stone Island moon boot.
A Stone Island one of ours. Yeah. Obviously, if the boy's injured, he's injured in style.
You know what? Obviously, I've had my goes about him, but seeing him going down in that game like that, I was heartbroken for him. I genuinely was seeing him like battering the floor and that. I was shite. Well,
you get what? It's because a few games prior to that, he was actually looking no too bad coming on.
Mm.
Like, so to see that happen, and you know what? See, when he did go down, there were some people that just kind of, I think it was more of the case of, I wasn't a pure laugh, if you know what I mean, but it was more like, oh, that's him injured again. Because there's also that kind of running joke that he's always injured.
Really unfortunate.
I know.
He knew himself, just the way he reacted, and that was a shame.
Yeah. Well, actually, I never spoke about it in the other pods, so obviously, we'll wish him a speedy recovery, but it doesn't look too good. But I'm pretty sure, just as long as he takes off his Stone Island badge when he's going into the pubs, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
So, the 24th, we signed wee John Robertson on loan from Hibs. I do apologise. I don't know why I was thinking bloody Hibs there. Obviously, thankfully, there's probably not one Hibs fan that listens to this, so they'll not get offended.
Actually, there is.
Is there? We've got a Hibs fan listening.
My missus is old, man.
Oh, does he listen?
Like Desi. He's Derek as well.
Well, that's me getting fucking blacklisted for any future Paul Gray events that's happening.
Absolutely.
He only played 4 times for Dundee. I think it was just a short month loan. 4 times, and he scored a goal and a win against Hamilton. I can just double check. He never had a good few words to say about Dundee's fans. He once called the Dundee fans the fans from hell.
Oh, did he now?
Yes, and I've actually got the article because when he was warming up, when he signed for us, Dundee fans and Derry just kept giving him pelters about Albert Kidd because he was also a Hearts player at the time.
That's not enough to warrant calling fans the fans from hell.
Yeah. He put his actual quote, I've got it here, the crowd are hell. Their team's 8 or 9 games away from winning the championship and they don't seem to care. Just giving him abuse.
That sounds like now.
Yeah. But here's another one. If Hearts were about to win the championship, any championship, which never, because also Dundee stopped them, our fans would be cheering to the rafters to support the team, but Dundee fans are very, very quiet and just seem to want to get on the players' backs.
Hmm.
I had a nice welcome from them. Then after 10 minutes, they reminded me of a certain Albert Kidd. Then a few of the young boys were shouting things like Hearts reject.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Amazing.
Oh, you've made it. You've got to send me that. That's brilliant.
That is amazing.
Oh, jeez.
It's actually, that was on the 28th of February, so or the 27th, actually. I'm going to post that on the archive.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. fantastic.
Cool.
I feel like the next couple of wins, I'm not going to stand up to that at all. There's definitely not going to stand up to it.
Definitely not.
So we're going to try anyway. So the 25th of February, 1911, Dundee continued their defence of the Scottish Cup with a 2-1 win against Rangers at Dens Park in the third round. There's no many times I can say Dundee have continued their defence of anything. So I'm taking that one.
Oh, definitely take that.
And last but not least, the 26th. Now, what have we got here? Again, it's a fucking obscure one because there was no much happening. 6-1 against St Johnstone, 1938. Harry McMenemy.
What a player.
Arthur Baxter, Big Baxy, we two.
Somebody.
John Laurie, we won. Jono. And I'll get this in right. You're the only one to pull me up on this one last week, by the way. Archie Coates.
Coates.
Yeah. Big Coatsy got one.
Not Archie Knox. He's no time traveller.
Only one to pull me up on that.
I see that. Mm-hmm. Oh, brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant.
But that's it. I thought the John Robinson one was fantastic. Totally forgot about that. France from Hell. Then I read his interview. So I've got to speak about this.
That's great. Can't believe I've never seen that. I probably have, but I've totally forgot about that. That's brilliant.
I just love the fact that brought a striker in to help us win that league, and we've done nothing but game abuse.
Ah, typical Dundee fans.
But I do think at the end, I might have an article as well, that at the end when he left, he was more like, oh, I enjoyed my time here and stuff like that, eh? So... But that's it, Paul. That's your the archive filling for this week. So
love it.
That's us. I've got nothing else to speak about. That's me.
I've got something to speak about though.
Fire on. When you go.
It's actually when I've been sat looking at this can of Birramoretti, I realise why I bought the Birramoretti. So it's a wee question to the Arab fans that listen to the podcast, and there is a few, don't lie.
Mike
Young. There's a good few, yes, but why have you got a Birramoretti flag? Why? Like, just why? Like, you've got the Birramoretti logo with Dundee United on it. It's an absolute fucking minter.
Fuck's sake.
Well, it is. If anybody's seen that video, and it's not just me thinking it, there's countless folk that are asking, is that a Birramoretti? Why is it Birramoretti? Like, watch the video. And secondly, what's the song that they're singing in it? I don't know. What's the significance? What's the lyrics? I'll let you hear it. It goes like this. It goes like that. Wait, what is that all about? Because I'd really love to know. Answers on a postcard to Grazer at the Up With The Bonnets podcast, please.
I love how you're getting your back up about something alcohol related.
It's absolute nonsense. They call us the fun. What? Watch that video. Incredible stuff.
I'll not be watching it. I'm after my bed. I'm Calpol after this.
Well, I'll send you it. You watch it.
But that's it. That's it for us this week, Paul. Again.
We got there.
It's been a pleasure.
As always.
We've actually managed to string this out for just under 9 or 10 minutes.
Done well.
And that's an episode about getting pumped 1-0 for Morton.
Getting pumped 1-0, you've got the card. Bloody hell, we've done well, mate.
We'll have. So we'll obviously be back next week. We'll be speaking about, obviously, the Inverness game, the Partick game, and whoever we've got after that, because I've not looked at the fixtures, so it is what it is.
Is what it is.
Catch us all later.